It's 810, Newstalk 1620, WTAW. The mayor's in the house. And you can use those headphones or those right there. I think those are probably would fit. Are those even plugged in? Yeah, I don't know.
Well, actually, they're both plugged in.
Okay, all right. We'll put you over there. That's it.
To bother.
As you win.
Uh-huh, yeah. So it's like a barber chair almost, isn't it? I mean, you can do almost anything you want, just up, down, round.
All right. She in the special Neil Bortz chair?
Yeah, it is. Yes.
And
yeah,
in basketball?
We put her in the Neil Bortz chair.
Well, you know, when I was little, you know, like last week.
Yeah.
We didn't have a bar, you know, we didn't have a beauty shop in town. There was a barber shop growing up. And so that's where I got my hair cut until I was, you know, like a teenager, when I'm actually the same size I am right now.
Yeah, I understand. Yeah, yeah,
and,
yeah.
You know, across the barber chair, they had like, it's kind of like a board that just kind of sat in.
I remember that.
Yeah, and so I still need a booster chair.
Okay, I got
you. Because I'm still vertically challenged.
There you go.
Yeah.
And see, and the problem is, used to be, it was easy because you could just use a phone book, but, you know, phone books are getting to be hard to find now, so.
Yeah, well, yeah. And having grown up in New York, there was, you know, that was 3 inches.
Sure, yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So there you go. So anyway, but we've got her in this fancy Neil Bortz chair. And
very comfortable.
Yep, so she can hop right up there and be herself.
Her mayorness.
Her mayorness.
I'm going to let you explain to people what I have here, because, and I'll give you the first one, as a matter of fact, that you can take that.
Oh, my gosh.
There's one for your office and probably one for your home. Does your husband need one? Okay, you're all right.
These are what I would call mouse pads.
That's right.
Mouse pads?
Yes.
And, you know, like those of us who still have, you know, like home computers, you know, desktops, and you have a little mouse and you run it over this little thing, and it's a 2013 calendar starting in January and going through December.
How do you like that?
We're fancy.
Oh, yeah, the entire year. In big red letters, center top is WTAW, and a congratulations where it says in a banner in bright yellow, 90 years.
Yeah, that's
spiffy.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
Gosh, does Ben look good from being here that long?
Well, he does. Now,
and then it says the official flagship of Aggie Athletics.
Right, and it's got a website on the side over there.
Yeah,
and all
it's
that.
Just. So almost too good to be true.
You do. As you saw, I opened the package here. You were the first one to get one
of
these.
I verified that.
And the deal is, obviously, we came up with this idea about 4 years ago. Okay? That was a great idea.
A little slow on the uptake.
It was, yeah. But, and that's basically what Ben's daughter told him 3 years ago when we were going to do the next ones is, you know, Dad, there are a lot of people use these wireless devices now.
Well, and the optic mouse that don't need it. Shh.
And then 2 years ago, there was a discussion of people use their wireless devices and there's no rollerball on the bottom of a mouse anymore, as Kevin just said, you know, the optical mouse. But what the hell?
Oh, I don't have one of those.
Oh, you don't?
No. What's an optical mouse?
I can walk in and show what I got in here.
Yeah, you know the kind with the red light that always shine you in the eyes?
Right, but it doesn't
have
a little. Remember, the first ones had a little rollerball under there.
Right.
But that's gone now. See?
Yeah.
So. And so then it just got to be what the hell we're going to make about. You're going to, why not have an anachronism, right? Why not have something that is just completely out of time and space? And so that's why we've continued to do the mouse pads.
Much like this show.
Because we get ornery. That's right. We just get ornery. So we want to do that.
My daughter-in-law has discovered that there's some online place that you can take pictures of your kid and make them mouse pads. So it's kind of nice, but then you feel badly that you're running over your grandchildren's face.
Good. That's
a good point. Who wants their kid on a mouse pad when they can have WTAW on a mouse pad?
Yes.
I'm just
so
saying.
So true, Kat.
Just have those.
Good point.
Yeah, have those pictures up there. Hey, just real quickly, though, going back, you know, you weren't with us 2 weeks ago because you were in the midst of Sandy.
I was.
Yeah, do you have a personal story a horror story that you want to share with us?
I was at my son's for my twin granddaughter's first birthday party,
and he's
which
in,
was
in
Connecticut.
He's in Connecticut. Okay.
Yeah, and really, he was so fortunate. He did not lose power.
Really? Wow.
Yeah. Lost two huge trees, and it was really, and some shingles off of the roof and little leak and stuff, but, you know, compared to other people, he came out, you know, unscathed. But to see, he lives on a property that has a lot of really big, mature, old trees that are just beautiful. And to see the trees, I mean, we're not talking saplings. We're
I understand.
Talking, you know, 20 inches in diameter.
Been there a while,
kind of,
right.
moving like the 12th man on the Kyle Field, moving back and forth. And he lost two of them, two huge trees, but they didn't fall on the driveway or anything else. And so, but lots of, you know, kids were out of school for a week. My nieces on Long Island lost power for about 10 days, and kids were out of school 2 weeks there. So,
okay, so what is this
so
about?
Fortunately,
it worked out okay.
Yeah, and then the nor'easter came in, and then they had all the snow. And
okay, so how does it work that a hurricane hits your son's house, and he doesn't get water damage, and we get 4 inches of rain, and you got water in your house?
Well, the other thing is, I live down, below ground, and I had some unique circumstances.
You have higher neighbors. Yeah, the neighbors have their
well,
graded
down. And then
down.
I had a wood fence that ended up acting like a dam.
So
but
there you
my
go.
Son's house is elevated a little bit, and he was not by the shore.
I got you. So.
But, you know, those pictures.
Devastating stuff.
Oh,
devastating.
And not only did those people lose their homes and, you know, that whatever it was, 113 or so houses that were on fire, is having grown up there, these are people in that part of the world live there their whole lives.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you may get rich and you finish your basement or you add on to the back of your house, you're driving a better car, but you don't move.
Right, you stay there.
And so not only have these people lost everything, they've lost their entire network and support group and their whole community.
Sure.
And so that's really devastating and, you know, heartening to see the relief efforts. But, you know, when you're cold and tired and hungry and you've lost everything and...
America seems far away at that point.
It really does,
Well, all right, let's brighten the world a little bit. Let's move on to Jethro Trivia.
Oh, my favorite.
There we go. It's our oddly informative little news quiz. Ask you a simple question about pop culture and recent current events. Today's topic is big science. Big science.
God, that's so much better than little science.
It is. And it's scientists at the University of Rochester released an intriguing study this week concerning what? Was it A, carpal tunnel syndrome, B, cat scratch fever?
Thanks,
where's,
Ted.
Where's that Ted Nugent? C, cardiopulmonary resuscitation, or D, coolness? Once again, University of Rochester released an intriguing study this week. Was it carpal tunnel syndrome, A, B, cat scratch fever, C, cardiopulmonary resuscitation, or D, coolness? Kevin?
I'm going to go coolness.
Coolness, cat.
I'll just say cat scratch
fever. Of course you would. I knew you would. And Mayor?
Well, University of Rochester is in Rochester, New York,
yeah,
up in the Finger Lakes.
Right.
And to my knowledge, they do not have a medical school.
No.
So I'm going to eliminate anything that sounds like a medical science kind of
listen
thing.
Listen to this. Listen to the logic.
So I'm going with coolness.
Yeah. I mean,
I could be, you know, wrong.
Yeah.
It wouldn't be the first time.
Yeah.
So.
But you're not. You're right, as a matter of fact. The study was coolness, an empirical investigation. They surveyed more than 500 people to determine what exactly is cool. Participants were asked to provide adjectives they associated with the word cool and to give specific examples. The study essentially concluded that while coolness is hard to define, people know it when they see it. So there you
go. That's sort of like pornography. You don't can't
see,
define
no.
it. You can't.
She went there. She did.
Yeah, don't you
I was,
love it?
You know, Mayor, I've thought that, and I decided not to say it.
But that's okay.
She's the mayor. She can say whatever she wants.
She can,
well, yeah, but I mean, that's...
Yep, you're right. That's
you
exactly
know,
right.
You know, no one can define it, but you know it when you see it.
Exactly. So that's coolness, too. There you
okay.
go. It's 8:19. Hey, all right, let's talk a little city business. Y'all have taken taken steps to change the loading and unloading procedures in Northgate area. That's always been kind of problematic. A guy spoke last week about how it made it difficult for his truck drivers because they're very specialized in what they do. And if they got a ticket, it could hurt them.
Sure.
So let's talk a little bit about why you did that. Is this just one more step in my grand scheme of making things, my belief that it's difficult to do business in Northgate, or is there another reason for this?
There really is. Because the pedestrian and all of that kind of stuff that we did that. The city has been meeting with the delivery people. It is not, it's designed for, you know, loading and unloading. And if you can leave your truck unattended for a short period of time, but it's also a fire lane.
Mm-hmm.
And so the idea is get in, do what you have to, and get out. And so there's been an education process in terms of city staff talking to the delivery drivers. And
I mean, are you at the point now where they at least understand the rules and the
yes,
reason you
and
did
so
it?
Because if fire personnel needs the fire lane, you know, we got to have someone in the delivery truck to move it. And so the deal is, the delivery truck's not supposed to be unattended.
Yeah.
You know, so basically, you know, it's a two-driver deal, and somebody's unloading or what have you, and someone's with the truck if it needs to be moved. And so we've been witnessing, you know, trucks left unattended over an hour, and there was a kind of a warning process and then going into a ticketing. And so we started about a month ago doing this. But, you know, this is... You know, we recognize there's challenges in Northgate. There's no question about that. And we continue to seek solutions. And but we also expect, you know, some cooperation with the Northgate District Association and the landowners to help address this. This is a kind of a public-private partnership, and everybody's got to do their part.
Sure. Let's move on to the landfill. This continues to at least be out there. There's kind of a two-pronged thing because... Brazos Valley Recycling is a company that the city does business with.
Correct.
And then you've got the landfill out there. Now, you went ahead and on the consent agenda at the last meeting, went ahead and approved a continuing agreement with them, and there was no consideration or talking about the landfill, so those two situations are not related in any way?
Yeah, that's true. You know, we, as you probably remember, two meetings ago we had a large contingent of people that lived out in the Brushy community that came in and spoke about their frustrations. And the problem is TCEQ, Texas Commission on Environmental Quality, mm-hmm. is the one that establishes the rules for permitting landfills. And they have rules that there is, well, first of all, the time to ask for a contested hearing has long passed. But there was a 30-day period where an affected person could seek this contested thing. But our attorneys have said we don't meet the definition of an affected person. And that's because that requires adverse impact on health, safety, or uses of city property related to any comments raised.
Well, and again,
not in the city.
Yeah.
It's in the county.
Yeah.
Even though it's in our ETJ, it's in the county. And
that's
so,
extraterritorial jurisdiction.
You know, so it's kind of like, I might not like what you're doing at your house, but I don't have any jurisdiction to do anything about it.
Yeah, right. Did anybody from the city talk to the county about maybe expressing an opinion to TCEQ, to your knowledge?
I don't know. I mean, I've had, you know, informal conversations when we've been at events with Commissioner Cawley, which is her, mm-hmm. that's her district, and she has spoken at all the public hearings, and she serves on the BVCOG's Solid Waste Management Committee,
mm-hmm.
and they unanimously were asking for it to be denied, but that was all part of the public hearing process and stuff, but I've not, you know, never sat down with her and said, you know, here's a strategy. It was just more of an informal what's going on.
Okay. Again, so this is really out of the jurisdiction of the city,
exactly.
Even though it's close to the city, it's not in,
right.
inside the
yeah.
city.
So as much as we, you know, feel for the people out there, it's...
Not your deal.
Not our deal.
Let's talk a little bit about, you know, we're now a year into lots of changes that have taken place in personnel at the city, not the least, I mean, development, city manager. I mean, there are a lot of city secretary, been a lot of changes there. And actually, now you've got some charter things that are going to go into effect. This has been a revolutionary year for the city of College Station.
Well, I think, you know, it's it has been. You know, we've seen a lot of progress, I think, in a number of things. I think, you know, Northgate's going to totally change, you know, within 2 years, you know, once the 17-story and the stack and mm-hmm. Lots of other things that are going on there. And I think once those get finished and
you won't recognize the place.
You won't recognize the place. And I think with, you know, that's probably like 3,000 beds and people will fill them up and, you know, retail and services will move into it. I mean, you know, right now Northgate's kind of a, you know, there's a daytime business and there's a nighttime business, and there's not, they really are distinct businesses. And I think once we have that mass of residents, we're going to see a more even balanced of both, you know, businesses that operate during the day and into the early evening, and, you know, some different retail and different restaurants and that sort of thing. And so I think, you know, it has changed. You know, we have a new council when you think about it. I mean, since I was elected about 2.5 years ago, the only person that's still on the council, well, the only two people that are still on the council are going off now.
Mm-hmm. And let's talk about them for just a minute. Dave Rusink and Katie Marie Lyles now finished with their terms. Your comments on their service?
Oh, both have been exceptional in different ways. Dave is, and they represent different segments of our population. Dave being a retired university man and raised his family here, and he's got grandchildren here, and Dave is the mayor pro tem, and he's been spectacular in his dedication. He has he is a face of the city that you can see at almost every public event. Very accessible. Very willing to fill in whenever needed. So he's been a very steady influence. Katie Marie brings a different dynamic as a young, single professional, and she's going off to law school. And it's been nice to see her maturation on the council over the last couple of years. So we're going to miss them. They both bring a different dynamic, and both have been really excellent council members. Yeah. Well, so I'm going to miss them personally, but I know Dave, who's has always been and will continue to be active in the community, we're going to see him around. So.
We will do that, that's for sure. I want to digress for just a minute to development specifically with the plaza. Do we have anything new on that or a timeline?
Not that I'm aware of. I think their original timeline, this is a guess on my part, was just very aggressive, and then they realized that they couldn't get it done for that particular, fall semester that they were doing. And they said, well, that would be so tight. Let's just go back and regroup and think about it. So I have not heard anything that, anything is amiss. It's just, they're still working on it.
Well, they're a big company. They've got other projects, too, just because we're not seeing them move here.
We've not heard anything that they're not planning to continue and go on with what they originally planned. It's just been delayed a little bit.
Okay, and I guess it seems to me they've been putting the finishing touches on it for a month, but where are we as far as the fire station is concerned, number six?
I think we're going to have an opening within the next couple of weeks. I'm not sure of the date, but I think one has been set.
Okay, it's got a big number six on it. That's how I know exactly where it is. That's
right, because the profile from the, if you didn't see the number six, you wouldn't know it was there.
Yeah. All right, what else you got for us today?
Well, I just want to remind everybody that city offices are going to be closing for Thanksgiving next week, Thursday and Friday. And we got Christmas at the Creek coming up. There'll be four nights of activities, and that's going to be at Wolfpen Creek Park. And there's still drive-through exhibits at Central Park. Four nights of activities. That's November 30th, December 1st, and then the following weekend, December 7th and 8th. And each night's going to have kind of a little different theme, but there'll be lots of entertainment and food, holiday shopping, hay rides, photos with Santa, and all that stuff. And, of course, the admission is free. Park at Post Oak Mall. And any details, go to the city website, cstx.gov/Christmas.
There you go. It's Nancy Berry, the mayor of College Station. Thanks for being with us this morning.
Always a pleasure.
It's 8:29.